I want to let you know that today, Allie has been with us for a year now. And she's doing a wonderful job. And her lovely mom is with us today, right here, second row, third row. Me and Allie's mom go back a long time here. We've walked a lot of places, been through a lot of things, so glory to God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, when I began to form this message, I had no idea that a hurricane would be hitting, you know, down south. And how many knows that with that comes wind and rain and everything with it? And everything that can be shaken or pulled down. And let's face it, what could handle 40 inches of rain no matter where you live? True? But I'm going to continue on this message I started last week on the rain. The church needs rain. We need God to rain upon the church. And I'm not talking about just this one, on the church itself. That when things are dry, listen, I don't know too many things that grow just out of things that are dry. Everything needs some moisture. Now, I realize a cactus doesn't need as much as something else. But I guarantee you, if a cactus doesn't get any moisture, sooner or later, that'll even pass on. Now, some of you don't have a green thumb and you can kill everything. How many have that? Maybe you overwater it or drowned it or you forget about it. How many ever went on vacation, came back, and that plant didn't look the same? Now, how many are like, you have a green thumb, you can just take something almost dead, retransplant it, nurture it, and it comes back to life. We had this one little plant that, I don't even know what kind of plant it is. It was like, I took it down because we expanded our grass area. And I don't know, it's just the leafy thing. And I dug it up, and I thought, well, I'll just stick it by the back area. And I dug a hole, and I stuck it in there. And I really thought, a couple weeks, it'll be dead and gone. I dug it up, retransplanted it, sprinkled some water on it. And to my amazement, it still lived. Say amen. I mean, there's sometimes that you can even blow yourself away. Like, hey, cool, all right, it did something there. Usually things die when I do that. In Deuteronomy, are you there? Chapter 32. We'll start with verse 1 here. It says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And ear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop like rain, my speech like distilled dew, as small rain upon a tender herb and showers upon the grass. Each one of us in this room, God has sowed a seed into. The word is seed. Today you're going to get more seed in your spirit. But what happens is that the soils of our heart dictate how much we can be fruitful with it. It's possible to come to service, hear the word of God, hear it good, walk out, and the enemy steal that which is sown. He's always after the word. And we know there are four soils on which it falls upon. Some can have a little soil, like a crack between the sidewalk. It soon springs up, it's there, it starts to grow, but instantly when the sun comes out, it scorches it. Or a little persecution comes along, or you name it. I want everyone to be cautious here. When you come to service, be cautious that something doesn't take you away from the attention of the King of Kings. Because it's possible to come to service and be so distracted you will not receive. Sometimes we got to fight through that. Now, I'm not thinking anyone in particular. But I know this for a fact by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Third area it falls on is good air, good soil. But then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, come and choke it out, lest it bear more fruit. But the last soil is good soil, and it begins to produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 plus fold. 100 isn't the cap there. Do you know you can be as fruitful as you'd like to be? You can pray as much as you want to. You can read the word as much as you want to. You can allow God to work in you. There's no law against the spiritual things that God wants to work in your life. But when it comes to the church needs a fresh dose of rain. I said he needs a fresh dose of rain. Like those today that are suffering down south, my heart goes out to them. If you've ever had a flood in your basement or your room, it's nasty. I've had that twice in my life where I come home and there's 3 feet of water in my basement. And I'm like, oh, everything that's there, cabinets, you name it, clothes, it just gets ruined. Amen? Let alone having that much rain. I wouldn't know what that's like. But I know that for a fact, that the rain needs to come. And when a flood is in control, I want you to know that it does a good thing. It begins to move sediment out of the way. But too much of a flood and it overdoes the banks, it begins to become destructive. But how many in here would want a deluge of the Holy Ghost to sweep away things that have been sediment in your own life? Yeah. How many want to have a flood come in your own spirit and clean things out? Okay, half of you. How many said, I just don't want a little sprinkle anymore. I want a flood to come in. I want God to begin to clean me out. Look at verse 4. When it talks about God, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without prejudice. He's righteous and upright is He. When you talk about our God, He is perfect. When everybody says, hey, why does the Lord do this? Always come back, God is always perfect. He is always just. Amen? Never entertain anything short of that. Because it's amazing to me that even Christians will go, well, why does God do that? Wait a minute, God's perfect. We live in a sin-cursed world. It's amazing any of us are still alive today. Can I get a witness there? So the truth is we have to look at Him. He is perfect. Always steer people to what the Word says about God. Not our own intellect in those things. No, God is perfect. Have I seen bad things happen to good people? Absolutely. I don't know why. But I know God is good. He's always good. And I learned this for a fact, that if you go through those storms, believe me, things always work out to His benefit and then to your benefit. And if you think about God's created us for eternity, He's always working on our character first. I mean, those God's concerned about our character. If you could be different in eternity by leaving this place filled, do you think that'd be a great idea in the mind and heart of God saying, I want you to be like my son? Then I'm going to allow situations at times to get our attention. I mean, sometimes we get hard-headed. You ever notice the children of Israel? When they got it right, they rocked with God. And when they didn't, they got so far away from God. And I noticed the cycle. Get it right, get it right, get it right, way away from God. And then sometimes it'd be like detestable things they did. And God would allow them to go through that phase till they got to the place where they were in captivity somewhere. And then they finally called out to God. God brought a deliverer and set them free again. And it seemed like for a short time, they're like, yeah, God, you're awesome, yeah. Then soon they go back to it like a dog that returns to his vomit. Do you know that cycle can be in us too? We can rock with God, be away from God. Rock with God. How many want to change that area? I want our character to be that we don't have to go through those type of situations. When a flood comes, it goes down to the very depths of our foundation. It begins to stir everything and anything that's there. This type of flood of the Holy Ghost demands total displacement and replacement of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when God moves on you, let Him. Listen, if you're at a service and God's touching you, you can spend some time at the altar. And if it's after service and you need prayer, you can receive. No one's going to boot you from that place. Now, I know things are decently in order, but if you want the Holy Ghost, it's available. I said, it's available. And on Wednesday nights, we have an awesome service here Wednesday nights. I'm telling you, it's Holy Ghost flat out kick booty. Can I say booty in church? When I look at rain, rain typifies the cleansing of the old self. God wants purity in our worship, not mixed with something old. He wants purity in that area. Now, whatever style of music you like, great. But does it glorify God? But here's my point in this. It doesn't need to be secular from this area, the altar, to get people moving in the King. It needs to be holy. We have to saturate areas. When you pray, you're praying over your family, you're saturating that thing. When you're praying for your friends, you're saturating that. It needs it. Much of the world is dry and barren. But Christians need to be the place spiritually that where they go, it can change it to green and growing.
Yeah.
How much that can be a, you can change your environment.
Yeah.
I said, you can change your environment.
Amen.
I shared with you about 2 months ago, I had a vision that the church, when it really is rocking the way it should, that you could come to a barren place and it'd be like, how many ever seen where they add color to a picture?
Yeah.
And it changes. I had a vision like that. That where people were walking, all of a sudden, if it was barren, green began to grow. And I remember looking at houses. They were dilapidated and broke down. And all of a sudden, they were painted and fixed as the church was marching on. How many knows that we have the words of life? Come on, mankind needs restoration. And Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. How much we need it today? Listen, we don't need another drip, drip, drip. We need a flood. I said we need a flood. On Wednesday, I mentioned that we need to be filled with the Spirit. In Acts 2:4, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a couple drops here and there. Don't give me a Dixie cup when I can have a tanker. Amen? Now, growing up, how many ever took the water hose and soaked whoever? Soaked your family, soaked your friends. I mean, it was when you had to make up your own games, you did things. Remember when you had to make up your own games? I still remember, sometimes I really marvel back that in the summer, I don't know what I did, but I did something. I did it. And then I despised when 2 weeks was left and I had to go back to school. Summer seemed to rocket by. Did anybody hear? It's like the fastest time of your life. Recess was awesome in school. I loved recess. I aced recess every year. The truth is that time was so fleeting. And now, let's look at all of us. We're all getting older in here. True? You can look back and go, man, where did that time go? And it seems like every year rockets by again. But what about our character? Lord, I want that to change too. I want to be able to look back and say, I haven't arrived yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. A flood of your Holy Spirit in my life will rapidly change a lot of things. I said change a lot of things. As we see destruction down south, I want you to know that God knows how to contain the flood into our life. That it doesn't destroy us, but moves things out of the way. Sometimes we get a hardness in our heart that we don't even know is there. But the flood of the Holy Spirit begins to wash that out. Maybe it's an impurity you've been dealing with for a while. The Holy Spirit can come in there and wash that out. And when you're clean, you're clean. Sometimes we can even have attitudes. How many ever woke up grumpy? How many have a grumpy phase in your day? All right. Anybody ever call you out on it? Man, you're grumpy. In our home, we call it out, and that makes it worse. How many knows when you point it out, you're kind of crabby today? No, I'm not. How many knows it's reality? We speak on that. Oh, you're all perfect in here. We get real in our family. Both of us, we speak, hey, you're feeling this. Come on, that's not very Christian-like. Bitterness, disgruntled, unforgiving, hurt, all of that we've all experienced or seen at some time in our life, our family, and in our church life. But Lord, take the hose. Amen? Let me step into the river and be filled. Honestly, what can any of us ever hold on to when Jesus has forgiven us of so much? Shouldn't we be those type of people? Well, if I got a river of life flowing, where? Out of me. What happens? It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the... how many of us, that's a reality. We can't do it with a drip. That may feed your gerbil, but that ain't feeding nothing else. Now, I had some gerbils when I was growing up. Those are the most ferocious little... things ever. How many ever been bit by a gerbil? Got that little teeth grab on there and oh, Jesus. They don't do very much. You run around in that thing there and they're escape artists. You can pin that lid down and they find a way to get out, and then they get under your bed and you got to chase it around for a week. I've had some bad experiences with gerbils. It's just coming out now. Lord help me. I remember I had them for years and like little guys, amen. Until the dog finds out there's a gerbil there. And the gerbil has a heart attack because big old Wolfie looks in there and goes, "Woo!" I never forget, my dog barked at the gerbil and his hair stood up. He went like this. He's like freaked out. That's bad. Bad. What about the rain? For rain to fall, we must be honest about ourselves and our efforts. Jesus said this in Mark 4, verse 24. "Take heed what you hear. For the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you again. You who hear, more will be given." When we start to look at it, if you want God to move, don't expect it to be poof. No, put some effort into your spiritual walk. Sometimes we're just waiting, "Oh, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me." How about take a step into the blessing? How about be a blessing? How about seek my face? Sometimes I want to do it for you a little bit, but the Lord says, take a step. With the measure you, that means, you know what? If you don't read your word, who's going to read it? Sometimes we want all the blessings, but we don't even spend a moment in the word to get what we need. True? We can all get better reading the word. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you're a pastor or not. We have to be disciplined in those areas. Well, discipline yourself. All of us want the blessing. There's no doubt of, "No, curse me, Lord." No, you don't want that. Bless me, Lord. Then spend that time. Look at your schedule and say, "You know what? I can do this." It's not hard. There are so many ways you can get it laying on your bed from your phone. True? What's our excuse? He's given us 24 hours. He's not going to give us any more. You've been allotted days on this planet. I don't know how long you've been allotted, but that's your allotment. No more. If you could back it up now and you were 5 years old and you had the wisdom you do right now, what would you do different? What would you change? What decisions would you have said, "No, I ain't making that. That was dumb." Well, you can't go back, but you can sure start now. How about be smart now? Don't be a dumbbell the rest of your life. Oh, that's too hard a preaching. Listen, we pretend revival and we pretend rain. Now, I want to see it. I want to see a mighty move in my lifetime. I said a mighty move in my lifetime. I want to see God blow out areas and change things and shut things down and society change. Can God still do it today? Then listen, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, notice he doesn't wait for society. He says, "I wait for the church." The world can be any way it wants to, and I can still move. I'm looking for people who I can place my spirit upon. Then, Lord, let me be. Now, here's a true fact. Thank God when you get empty, because it allows you to get filled again. You just got to go back to the source. Because when you're full of everything, including flesh, where's the room for the Holy Ghost? So you know what? To empty yourself, you have to be one that reaches out. Believe me, you reach out and care for somebody, you'll drain. Work next to somebody who hates God, you'll get drained. Walk on this planet, you'll get drained. Then I can be refilled. I can be refilled. Not just topped off, refilled. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a continual infilling. And when you've tasted and see that he is good, you're not satisfied with anything the world offers. In Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 5. "They have corrupted themselves." They're not his children. "Because of their blemish, they're perverse and a crooked generation." That's what God says about the world. And how about this? Those who say they know him and don't. It's a crooked and perverse generation. some of the greatest pain you'll ever experience is from religious people. That's a true fact. Sometimes the world can treat you better than the religious folks. Well, let's not be religious. Let's be relational. Have a relationship with the King of Kings. But I need the rain to fall. I need it to fall upon me. God wants people to move with him, not kids who just act foolishly. Sometimes verse 7, 32:7. Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will teach you. How many of us, we need to ask again. Sometimes we need to go back. Hey, I've been in this for a while. And God has always been faithful. When everything goes away in bad, no, God's been with me. He's always faithful. This is a season. And if somebody has some gray hairs in here and they walk a little bit slower, maybe you need to slow down and sit next to them and talk to them for a moment. Maybe some revelation to come back into your hearts and lives. Now, if you dye it and change it and offer it different, that's fine too. You know how old you really are. Amen? Say amen. Amen. Come on. It's okay. We're getting a little older. I'm still young inside. Doctor told me I'm going to go through puberty again, so I'm looking forward to it. My voice is going to change. Everything's going to be good. Amen. When it comes to the Lord could have wiped out every generation. But notice that he's always had great mercy. He's always had a remnant. And when he reduced it down, I marvel at this, that when it was reduced down to Noah, his wife, and his kids and their wives, there was a few people left on all of planet Earth. And God searched every generation and every heart looking for somebody and only found Noah and his family righteous. Can you imagine how that must have hurt the Lord when he created man in his image? And it was reduced from Adam and Eve, all those people who were born, down to Noah and his family. When I look at that, do you see what great lengths God will do to look for a righteous generation? Well, there's more in that than this room, in that he is happy, in that he is pleased. Then let's let him take us through the process. It hurts sometimes. It's painful sometimes. It seems out of control sometimes. But God will be there. Sometimes you need to rely on those who've maybe walked a little bit ahead. Ask of them. Maybe somebody else has went through that and just what you need. Sometimes we think like nobody understands. I'm here to tell you somebody does. And if nobody on planet Earth, Jesus surely understands. Because he was wounded for our transgressions. When I look at Jesus, the flood wiped out those that were in sin, but it carried those that were righteous. How many knows both things are in operation? Then, Lord, I want to be in that boat. That means no matter what the flood does, I'm always secure in him. Then I'm going to let the flood of the Holy Ghost change me. If you read the book of Revelation, the flood of Noah's day will be nothing like what's going to happen when the judgments are finally poured out. Nothing like it. Jesus said there won't be another day like it ever again. That's how cataclysmic it's going to be one day when all these judgments are fulfilled. That's still coming, gang. That word will still be fulfilled. It isn't just the end book, the scary book on the end. It's a book of Revelation. And if you read Revelation in the light, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. The book makes sense. And what's been revealed is for us. There are certain things in Scripture that are hard sayings. But I know that God is good. He'll see us through. Amen? And here's another thing. Every time there's been judgment, God has always brought mercy. Before, during, and after. And every time I've seen, the righteous have always been delivered when judgment came. It's a process that God has. He's not here to beat up his bride. He's here to perfect his bride. Say amen. How many needed to bring the rain? How many, Lord, flood in my soul? That can happen during worship. Lord, flood in my soul. That can happen at home. Lord, flood in my soul. Lord, continue to bring cleansing upon. God knows the limits on which you need, and I've learned this. You may start off being a little Dixie cup when you first get saved, but things expand as you get older and mature in Christ. I believe personally you can be a super tanker. I really do. How much of the Holy Ghost you can handle? Well, your spirit can handle the Spirit of Almighty God. How much infilling do you want? As much as you want. Amen? But you always got to be refilled. Jesus showed the pattern. He ministered all day long, prayed in through the evening, then always went back to his Father to receive more strength. He got his daily bread every day. When ministers give out too much and don't get refilled, they start to run dry. And you'll run for a time because you have enough oil not to seize. But sooner or later, you'll seize up. Lord, let me be refilled. Amen? There are some times that if you're ministering great ministry and helping people, sometimes it's just good to go home and take a nap. Just go to sleep, amen? He won't sleep, you need it. Sometimes you just need I need some rest. Turn that puppy off for a time. You'll be able to get back to it. Is this good preaching today? How many want to be filled? We need it. We know the destructive part of the flood, but God won't do that in your spirit. His flood will bring cleansing upon. His word is there. It's like washing of the word and renewing of the Holy Spirit. For us to change, we must first reveal by the Holy Ghost to us, for us, and in us. You have to say, Holy Spirit, reveal in me. Because mental assent is not enough. I could tell you to read your Bible a billion times. That won't make it to the door. You have to have the revelation. No, I need this. There's areas you need to change. That has to be revelation. I could say it a million times. No, I need the revelation. Lord, I need to change. I want this working in me. That's something you have to look at. It must be personal. Now, we're trying to train up. Repetitive things are good, but I can't go with you tomorrow morning. But I want you to have a devotion. What is your quiet time? When is it when all the noise is gone? There are times in my own life, 1 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning is a good time for me to have a devotion. The birds are still sleeping. The crickets finally stopped chirping. And it's quiet. And I can just hear the word. I can just picture that area. I can just speak into that. Put away all the other stuff. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but whatever that is, find it. Amen? When God begins to change us, we need to recognize sometimes our foundation may not have the best mortar in it. Sometimes we have to go back and do a little patchwork. I received some erroneous teaching when I first got saved. I really did. I was told that all the miracles passed away when the last disciple died. And I was taught that through and through and through and through and through. I mean, that was something to look at. That's a pretty big thing, wouldn't you say? Then I saw God do a miracle, touch somebody. Wait a minute, it's not done yet. Then I really begin to think about it. You mean somebody was in a healing line and all of a sudden the last guy died and that person had to stand there. You don't get anything. It made no sense. Lord, I need you to take the bricks and redo the mortar. And you're such a master crafter, I won't be able to see it after a while. Isn't that cool? The flood revealed the crack. Flood me, Lord Jesus. Lord God, maybe I'm holding on to attitudes or action. Lord, flood in me. Maybe a hurt or what, flood in me. Lord, flood in me. Change me that I can be brick upon brick, mortar upon mortar. Because your life is being built for an eternity. No cracks included. That if the rain comes that the storms have, it'll beat against the house. But your house won't fall because it's built upon the rock. Listen to me, God builds us for times like this. He builds us for times that we're living in. He didn't want you born 2,000 years ago. He wanted you born now because He knew you could handle this time. Then, Lord, I want to be strong in these days. I can't stop the flood from the world, but you know what? It can be diverted. Amen? And here's what I want us to do as a church. They can detect hurricanes now thousands of miles out in the ocean. True? How about we start praying, Lord, turn it now. Instead of when it gets close and embrace the thing. There's where my faith is now. Lord, turn it now. Turn it out. Let it go out. Can anybody believe that? Can God do that at all? Now, I know natural disaster, but you know what? I'm going to add my faith to that. Spin it out. Because from this, billions of dollars will be damaged. People have lost their lives. I don't see a whole lot of good happening. I know God will be with folks, but you know what? Having water in your house is a nasty thing. Amen? How many churches had to shut down this week? How many people have been displaced? How many people will be out of work? And I think 10 people have already lost their life. What about those innocent folks? Lord, move the storm. Will somebody agree with me in prayer? When we hear it, let's be active with it. Amen? I enjoyed this morning. I'll close with this. I was hoping to get through this, but it's good. When God begins to work on us, we have to really start looking, do we really believe it'll happen? Not just go, yeah, I believe. No, do we really believe it can happen? Do you really believe that God can flood you with the Holy Ghost? Do you really believe that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? See, it's one to say, yeah, I believe that, but there's always that little doubt. Or when you have to take the step, nothing happens. I want to see it happen. I really believe. Then, Lord, I really believe you're going to change me from glory to glory. Here I am. Lord, take the flood of the Holy Ghost and push it against every bar to my foundation. And, Lord, if a piece falls off, it only shows me where it needs to be repaired right. Because when God's done with you, you'll be able to stand against every storm. Isn't that what we all want? How about some debris that may be in the way? If the storm moves fast enough, it takes all this stuff and shoves it downriver. Lord, let it be fast enough to move the debris that's in here and in here. Or am I the only one? How many still have some areas that the Lord's still working on? Let me see your hand. Lord, let the flood come in. Not just a little bit of rain, let it come in. I could take the little spigot and just turn on a little bit, and if it was real thirsty, my dog would lick out of this faucet outside. He liked it. But there was one time I had this hose, and he was drinking on the end, and I know this was mean. But I kind of held it, squeezed the hose a little bit, and I let it drip out the end, and when he started lapping it, I let it go, and I just sprayed him big time. I remember looking at him like, you're just so bulk, all right? But I soaked him instantly. I was that kid. I really was. I love my dog, but I squirted him all over, got him all wet. The Lord will always be gentle with you, but the flow rate, he doesn't want to diminish. Then, Lord, keep turning it up. Keep turning it up, Lord, until I'm cleansed inside and here. Every debris, let it wash away. Show me my foundation. I think a lot of pastors need this. Lord, show me my foundation. You minister on any level, Lord, show me my foundation. Lord, I've been saved for, show me, Lord, that I can stand. Amen? And then when you've been patched up, you know what? It's so easy to go, you know what? I think a little bit right there. Ooh, that's good. A little. Oh man, that really looks good. I remember one guy had this wall, was hit by a car, a guy jumped over the curb, blew out the side of the brick. I fixed the electrical inside. I had a few moments and he goes, I'm going to repair this up. I go, dude, how are you going to fix this? It's an old brick. It's hard to find. He goes, I'm going to age it. I got the color pretty close. And when you're done, you won't be able to tell. Well, he worked on it for over a week. Meticulous. The mortar was aged. He aged the mortar. And when he was done, I looked at it and go, dude, you're a craftsman. It's more than just sticking brick on there. You matched it. How many knows God will hear this? He'll match you just like Adam before he sinned. I'll restore your soul. Can he do it? And one day when you shed this flesh, you'll be like Jesus. I want that character in me. How many need the flood to come? How many need the debris to wash away down the aisle there? Maybe to check, Lord, our foundation, what we believe. Lord, let it rain. His word is like rain. It's like dew that saturates. It's like that which covers that grass that's been mowed down. If you walk outside when you're first in the morning, before the sun gets out, how many ever got your feet wet? That can be the start of your morning. I got a little devotion, got my feet wet. Amen? Got a little bit to go there. Got enough to get moving. Can't wait to get knee deep. Oh, I'm not satisfied there. I'm waist deep now. Oh, it's really good. It's starting to lead me. The deeper the current, the easier it led. Oh, you know what? Now it's I'm starting to get shoulder deep, and it's getting pretty hard to fight against the current. And now I'm head deep. I'm swimming in it. And wherever he wants to take you, you can go now. You can go farther than what you could do on your own. Let it rain. Let it rain again. If you would, lift your hands as we close. Father, let it rain. Let it rain upon your people. If there's an area in your life that the Lord has revealed, confess that. Lord, help me with this. You know you better than anyone. Maybe there's an area you see that, hey, this foundation needs to be stronger. Maybe it's been an erroneous teaching like I had. Lord, restore. Maybe it's an attitude that keeps you. Maybe it's unbelief. Lord, let the flood of your Holy Ghost come upon. And Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Go with each one in strength and power. And Lord, bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll leave these altars open if you need to find additional prayer. Sorry I went a little bit longer. God bless you. Have a great week.